Tonight, as we read together, we're going to be looking at a few verses from 2 Peter chapter 1. We all want to make sure that we get to heaven. We would like a set of instructions given to us by God that's fail-proof. And really, God has spoken in regard to such things in this chapter, because in verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter is, by the Holy Spirit, telling us there are certain things that we can do to make sure that we are saved. We can live in such a fashion as to not be without hope, but rather be absolutely certain that we will be saved. He says it takes diligence, and that if practiced, these things will enable us to, as he puts it, never stumble. It's not a key to sinless perfection from the day you determine to do this onward, but rather a never stumbling so as to be eternally lost. It's inevitable that all of those who strive to live for Jesus will, on occasion, in weakness, transgress and stumble and be unfaithful to God in some fashion. But we can, as did David and others who walked with God when they stumbled, acknowledge our sin, resume our walk with God. And every time that occasion of stumbling occurs, we can be determined to get back with God and to be faithful again. But when he speaks concerning the certainty of our walk and never stumbling so as to lose our hope of salvation, he speaks about the condition there at the latter part of that verse, that if you do these things, you will never so stumble as to lose your hope of salvation. What things is he speaking of? Well, we're all quite familiar with the list of what is often referred to as the Christian graces or virtues in verses 5 through 7. Because each of these things are certainly critical to our everyday walk with God. Maybe we don't have all of these things that presently are filling our lives. Maybe we've got a little here, a little there, but you notice what he speaks about in verse 5, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence with the greatest of effort. Here is how you proceed as God's people, desiring salvation. Add to your faith. So faith, we know, is where things begin, the belief in Christ, the belief in the Word of God, the belief in the things, the promises that God has made, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But he says, adding to your faith, what? Virtue, or the word is, the term refers to moral goodness. You've got to have the quality that resembles Christ in terms of your moral values, your virtue that you have. And this, he says, you need to add to your faith. A manner of living that sets you far apart from the world. When you live according to this way, when you have virtue or moral goodness, you will most definitely be different from the world in that positive way that Christians must be. He talks about the need for knowledge. God said in Hosea 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." If you don't know God's will, you won't be able to get to heaven, because it's the manner by which God's word is that lamp to our feet and light to our path. If you don't know the will of God, how can you do what he tells you to do? Or how can you know when you stray from the path and you have to come back if you don't have knowledge? And to knowledge we add self-control. Self-control is that quality that enables us to control the desires of the flesh and of the mind and bring the body into subjection. It's what Paul described himself needing to have, lest he, when he preached to others, be a castaway or one who has no hope because he was guilty of practicing what he was supposed to, or not practicing what he taught people they should be doing. We have to have self-control, and perseverance, clearly, is vital, because there's ever the temptation to give up or to not keep going. But perseverance, that quality that causes us to never give up, is vital to God's people, because we're in a race. You never receive a crown or you never cross the finish line and get the reward if you give up the race and you don't compete according to the rules. There's also godliness or godlikeness, the qualities that make us like the one who has called us. And to that quality there is added brotherly kindness. The word, of course, is Philadelphia, a love for brethren. It's that special quality. You know, if we don't love our own brethren, can you get to heaven if you don't love your brethren? Because a part of the Christian duty is to care for and reach out to those who are of the same family. And in doing so, you're showing that Christ-like quality of making sure that those who are near to you and a part of you also make it to heaven. Jesus prayed for them. Jesus led them. Jesus died for them, His followers. We must have love for brethren. And the final one, of course, is love. That which is the summation of everything. Love will cause us to treat our neighbor the way we should, to not do things that are hurtful to others, because we must love our neighbor as ourselves. And of course, the greatest commandment of all, to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love will enable us to get to heaven if practiced as we see it in the life of Christ. So these things, if we practice them, verse 8, will cause us to not be barren. We won't be unfruitful, but rather we will have what we need. We won't be forgetful. Our calling and election will be sure. And verse 11, the entrance will be supplied to us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. This is our hope and our aim. And as we live life each day, it would be good to dwell upon the qualities that are listed by Peter here, and make sure that they are within us and that they abound, as he speaks of here. And when that's the case, we have the presence of these things, we can be certain, as he says himself, the Holy Spirit leading Peter to write this, that we will never stumble. May God help each one of us to so live the life and so run the race that when the end comes and we stand before our Savior in judgment, we'll hear the final words pertaining to our destiny, well done, good and faithful servant. We will be granted entrance into that eternal home. As one who may be here tonight but not yet cleansed by the blood of Jesus, there is a path that God has set forth that brings you from darkness to light, from hopelessness to a hope-filled life. And that begins with the belief that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and a turning from sin, an acknowledgement of where we've been and that we don't want to be there anymore. Repentance will bring us one step closer. We've got to confess our faith in Jesus Christ and be immersed where we contact the blood. Baptism brings us into that covenant relationship with God, and every day walking faithfully will help us to be assured of that home. If we've wandered, as we sometimes do, we can come back to God at any point in time. Don't allow yourself to drift away, to become hardened in heart, to lose the love for God that must be maintained. Come home to Him tonight if you need to, as we stand and as we sing.